Welcome to the Insurance Business Babes podcast, where we show you how we've grown our insurance and related businesses through talking about what works for us, what didn't work, and we'll help you grow your own business through our struggles and our successes. This show is owned by CMed LLC and hosted by Kathy Klein and Joanna Wyckoff. And now, let's get busy. Joanna, you thought that it would be a good time to talk about pre-licensing because, as you know, a couple of years ago, I created the Medicare Insurance Business Stages, and stage one is pre-licensing. Stage two is contracting an AHIP. Stage three is getting started, and that's your first 10 applications. Stage four is getting going, and that's your first 100, under 100 applications. And then we've got the hustle, and that's when you've got 100 clients, but really no systems yet. You're just hustling for business. Some people never leave the hustle stage because they never set up systems. And then stage five is the hustle, of course. Stage six is building, tweaking, and maintaining systems. And usually you have 300 or more clients. And then stage seven, it's managing a team. And not everybody does that. I'm not doing that. And stage eight is preparing for transition or sale. And stage nine is transitioning or retiring. Those are the stages of a Medicare agent's business. Today, we are going to focus on those of you that are listening that are not licensed yet, but you are considering getting licensed. This is the episode for you. And it is fresh in Joanna's mind because she is currently working with an agent who is not yet licensed. And today, we're going to talk about what do you do in between the time that you, has he passed his test yet?
Passed his test, submitted his application, submitted his background check and everything. So we're just waiting on it to be issued. And in Georgia, I waited 3 weeks, 8 years ago for it to be issued. It's not an overnight thing here. He is a new agent who found us on my Facebook group, Medicare Mentors Media. He said, hi, I found out that Top Flight is in the great state of Georgia. And how do I get to be an agent with Top Flight? Kathy, we've discussed this many times. A lot of times I don't have the capacity to take a brand new agent when they're in that stage because I'm running an FMO now, you know? And a lot of people rely on me. And normally I try to partner up a baby agent, brand new agent with what they call a general agency or a master general agency, someone who is probably local to them and can help hold their hand. Usually an MGA has less than 50 agents usually, and a GA usually has 10 to 15 agents. So they have more of a time. I had a little bit of time yesterday. He booked on my calendar for when I was going to be on a cruise. And I said, hey, I actually have time tomorrow to talk. So we met last night, and I normally don't get excited with new agents because a lot of people have been pitched things to get their license that are not completely true. Many of us have been promised the riches and pots of gold. I said, why did you go get an insurance license? What prompted you for this? And he told me that his fiance's family is actually financial advisors. Your background. He goes, my fiance is a financial advisor and she has assets under management. And a lot of her clients are asking her about Medicare. And she doesn't want to do that part of it. And he told me his background and everything. I got excited. Your fiance right here in Atlanta in my backyard. Oh, this is going to be good. And so we were talking and he was asking me what he could do in these couple of weeks while he's waiting on his license to be issued. Because I have some time. He does have a day job, but after that, I have time. So what can I do now without a license that would set myself up for success? I gave him a bunch of homework to do. His name is Garrett. So Garrett, there's going to be people who disagree with me, but I wish someone gave me this information 8 years ago too. So I'm going to tell you what I would have wished somebody told me 8 years ago when I was in the pre-license stage. You sound like you're going to be in here long term and that this is a definite career change for you. Oh, it's not a fly by night. Let me see if it's going to work kind of thing. I would start your LLC now. Why wait until you're busy and have all these contracting things to do? So I told him I had done a class a couple weeks ago for my agents, and it's also in my university, MedicareMentorsMedia.com, the steps to do an LLC, because you don't want to just pick a name. You want to be careful. A lot of agents I've seen make the same mistake of picking a name and then not making sure that that name is not only taken in their state, but in other states. And I made the same mistake, and I will be transparent. When I came up with a name.
Well, remember, I just want to remind the listeners that if they want to know how to set up an LLC, we have an entire podcast. You can go listen to that. But Garrett needs to set up an LLC, and he needs to do that right now. And if he doesn't know how to do it, he can go to your training, which he has access to because he's one of your agents, or he can listen to the podcast. Or if he wasn't one of your agents, people listening to this episode can go sign up for your trainings in the MedicareMentorsMedia.com. Do I have that right?
That's correct. That was the first step. And I said, you want to go JCPenney's or someplace and get a nice headshot done. You know, you don't want to use a Facebook photo from 1999. You can start your business cards once you have your LLC approved and everything. You don't have to appoint for an agency yet. You could do that separate. And so I sent him to get his LLC started, his headshot, his website, his email domains, email management. I told him how to, I like to structure it. Here's the thing, Kathy. He's already technically tied into people who do similar things to what we do. I say, you can tell people, hey, I'm waiting for my license to get issued. When it gets issued, can I practice on you? I was practicing for quite some time when I was new. Who doesn't want to help an agent who's brand new? Anybody who's brand new at their job? If you told me that you were getting a job as a nail tech, whatever, and you just needed to practice, you could practice on my nails all day long. And so I said, you want to start having these conversations. You don't have to be licensed yet because you're not recommending a product, but you can tell people what your new venture is. So tell the girlfriend, hey, I'm waiting on my insurance license. Can I plan on doing a Social Security seminar and a Medicare seminar with your audience, with your clients? And she was so thrilled. He went home. And he told her, hey, Joanna's going to help me do Social Security and Medicare seminars. And she's like, oh my God, they need that. And she was making client lists of who to invite. And I think her dad and sister also do the same thing. And I told him, when you do get your license, I want you to do something else too. And Kathy, I think this is really important. I know you recently got into this, but some people think Medicare is their only thing that they can sell. But one of the things that's easier to sell while you're learning Medicare is marketplace insurance. Or I said, hey, the day you get your insurance license, you can actually contract for dental and vision in some hospital indemnity. And you can sell vision insurance and dental insurance to folks you're passing as you walk into fast food places and part-time cashiers who don't have any benefits. You can already start the sales process. You don't have to wait to find the Medicare eligible people and learn everything about Medicare.
But they do need to wait until they get that license in their hand.
Yes, until he has a license, he can't contract for it. But he can still talk and say, hey, mom, dad, brother, sister, cousin, best friends on Facebook, I am waiting on my insurance license. Can I practice with you when it comes in? And start building the calendar.
Practice your pitch, right?
Practice your pitch, exactly.
Practice your pitch. That's something that you definitely need to do before you get that license in your hand, because you don't want to necessarily practice on live prospect. Practice on other people. But practice with people that will tell you, people that will actually tell you, nah, that didn't sound good. Or you don't want to practice on someone who's not just going to say you are good no matter what.
And just because the systems are a little bit to learn, it takes a while to learn how to do an entire Medicare appointment, right, Kathy? When I was new, I asked one of my friends, hey, can I use your information and your Medicare card and see if I can figure out these systems? Because we have to look them up and see if they qualify for Medicaid. Well, that requires someone's MBI to look them up. And I tell them, you know, why? Usually people, if they like me, they'll say, sure, I'll let you practice, honey. Yeah. When you're new and contracted, before you go trying to sell strangers, practice on mom, dad, aunt, uncle, people in your church, next door neighbors. But okay. Guess what, Kathy? If I practice on my aunt and I find a solution for her, you don't think she's going to do business with me?
She's going to wait. Yeah, she's going to wait for you. Let's try to focus right now on that time period after you've passed, but before you've actually gotten that piece of paper in your hand. You can't write an application yet. You can't get contracted with any carriers yet. What can you do? And you had some really good points. Get your LLC. So that is get your business set up.
Yep.
Get your headshots, website, and your email. Please do not use Gmail or Yahoo for your email address. It makes you look like you're just going to do this part-time. And it's really cheap to get an email. I have people that are in the membership site, certifiedmedicareagents.com. They have a website, but they're using a Gmail address.
It's crazy.
And most websites give you 3 or 4 free email addresses with that website. So I don't understand why they're doing that. It could be that they didn't want to put their business address because they think I'm going to spam them. But the issue is that when they get a lead, they're not answering the client back. They're not getting it. So don't do that on a lead site. If you're signing up for a directory site and they're going to send you a lead, give them the email that you're going to most likely check. And I'm not just talking about certified Medicare agents. I'm talking about any directory that you sign up for that where there is a consumer that could reach out to you. So you're going to get your website, get your email address. You're going to practice your pitch. Ask your centers of influence if you can work with them. Like Garrett, his center of influence is his girlfriend's family and their financial advisors. Find out if you know any financial advisors, if you know any accountants, people that you're doing business with, talk to them. Let them know that you're waiting on your license and you'd love to work with them. And then once you get your license, you can do the sign up for dental vision, learn how to do the technology. But there's some other things that you can do, Joanna, while you're waiting for that license.
What's that, Kathy?
Well, we've talked about this before. You can join a business networking group like a BNI. Or Chamber of Commerce. They're not going to ask you to produce your license.
No.
You might want to have a website before you do that so that they can put your website on there. Usually the Chamber or BNI, they're going to put your website up there on their website. So you're going to want to have that. You can start going to senior centers and talking to the senior centers and finding out if they charge to give you a booth every Thursday so you can sit in there, find out if they need somebody to do bingos, whatever. There's things you can do before you get licensed. So along those lines, what would you do in that 3 to 6 weeks?
I would also be looking for upcoming events in the community. I know one of the senior community centers in my area likes to do Valentine's Day dances and Easter dances. And usually there's holiday fall festivals and barbecues. Look for events coming up in the community. It doesn't have to be health focused. I had much success at things that are not health focused. Usually the health focused has 200 agents and 5 consumers, but look for things in the community, especially things that are fun, that bring out people, and see if you could be a vendor there or at least go as a participant. I've had a lot of success, Kathy, at going to events as just Joanna, the attendee, and shaking hands with all the vendors and talking to them. I did this at a veterans conference, Veterans Expo here in Atlanta, and I brought one of the carriers with me, and I made so many connections because I had the time to talk to all of these people who serve the same type of client I do, the veteran, the senior, and everything. And I talked to people who had owned adult daycares. I talked to people who had veteran services and who helped people with claims, because I get asked that a lot as a disabled veteran. And I made connections with so many people who have services in the community and other similar businesses. One of the things I like to do is network with people who serve the same demographic as I do. They become my referral partners and I refer them to them. And we've talked about that. Yes.
Now, speaking of you referring them to them, I just want to say something because I have paid for booths before where people come up to me and want to start selling me their stuff. They did not buy a booth. I found that to be very annoying. So when you're doing that, you need to do it the way Joanna would. You tell them how you are looking for partners because you're going to have referrals for them. You focus on them and don't take up a lot of their time either, because they paid for that booth. So you want to spend maybe 5 minutes max, unless there's nobody around. And if there's nobody around, say, you know, I can leave at any time. Another thing too, is when somebody's at the booth, that's going to attract more people to the booth. Mm-hmm. When you're sitting there at a blank, empty booth, sometimes no one comes over, and just let them know, hey, I just wanted to stop and introduce myself. If somebody comes over, I will leave, but I just wanted to say, hey, and see if I might be able to send you referrals. That's probably how you did it, right?
At the adult daycare, for example, I was really interested in the types of clients they get, if they take clients who have Medicaid. And I said, I have people ask me about this all the time. How can I send them to you? It's part of our function as insurance agents. A lot of people need that adult daycare, especially if they have dementia or another cognitive issue. Respite care, it's part of some Medicare Advantage plans where it's offered. I want to know who they're in network with, you know, and with the qualifications. I wanted to know if they took VA aid in attendance, who's their perfect client. Because I get asked all the time, especially for my dementia clients, when the family member needs respite care, hey, Joanna, I need to run errands and I need to drop my husband or my sister off. And who does this, and does the insurance cover it?
And if they don't have time to talk to you right then and there, guess what? Schedule a lunch appointment or a virtual appointment. Get them on your calendar to do a mini one-on-one with them. If they don't have time, let's say it's a super busy event, just say, hey, can I have your card? If it's real busy, just get their card and call them later and say, hey, I stopped by your booth on Saturday and I just wanted to follow up. And I was wondering if we could have like a 20-minute phone call, if I can get that scheduled. Because sometimes these things are really busy. Sometimes they're not.
Right. It really depends. Like home healthcare agencies, I ask similar questions. Who are you in network with? Who's your perfect client? Where do you go? I have a primary care doctor that does home visits, and he's been sending me a lot of clients, but I asked him, who is your perfect client? Is it someone who has mobility issues, homebound issues? And what insurances do you take, so I can make sure that I'm sending you somebody who you can actually help?
I have a doctor that sends me a lot of clients. And the other day I got a phone call. They're in California. He said, I'm on Medi-Cal, which is California's version of Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Medicare. And I read what he wrote. Apparently his sister thinks that he should go on Medicare Advantage. And so I sent a text to the doctor. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I'm meeting with one of your patients in 30 minutes. I thought you didn't take Medicare Advantage, because he's talking to me about Medicare Advantage. Mm-hmm. And she responds, well, what's his name? And I said, I can't give you the name because of HIPAA, but here's the situation. And I said, you definitely know him. You referred him to me. And she says, no, I don't take Medicare Advantage. And I said, good, I'll let him know. When I called him, he said, yeah, my sister wants me to go to Medicare Advantage, but I don't see why I should, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, is it working for you, what you have now? And he said, yes. And I said, well, did you know that if you do go on Medicare Advantage, you're going to lose your provider? And he says, well, no, I did not. Right. And he said, my sister says that I'll get $50 every 3 months for, you know, this. And I said, yeah, that's true. But is that worth losing your doctor? And he said, no, it isn't. I said, well, then you need to stay put. And if you ever do want to go on Medicare Advantage, give me a call back. I always send my referral partners, after I talk to their referral, I send them an update. I don't say, here's the plan I put. I just have a short, thank you so much, I was able to help them, or thank you so much, I gave them information, or thank you so much, I wasn't really able to help them, and here's why. I always send them an update so they know. You're right, going in and talking to people, but Joanna, I would not hand them my card unless they ask for it. Because if they don't ask for it, I don't think you have the right to give it to them when they're sitting at a booth unless they ask. They're probably going to throw it away if they didn't ask for
probably
it.
Probably so. But make sure that you can provide value to them. And you might not have any clients to give them today, but you're thinking about, as you build your pipeline, as you talk to people, people are going to need home health care. People are going to need durable medical equipment. People are going to need adult daycare. And so you might not have any clients to offer them today, but when the client does, you'll know exactly who you can refer them to.
I keep a spreadsheet of referral partners in San Diego, and I keep a spreadsheet of referral partners in the city where I live, because I do get a lot of people that ask me, mm-hmm. hey, do you know so-and-so? Doing that now, before you even get licensed, and you don't have to say, I have 10 clients, I have 100 clients, right. whatever. You don't have to tell them how many clients you have, because this is like, you guys haven't even dated yet. You're not asking them to marry you today, right? Yeah. You're just gathering information to see whether or not you could work with that person and whether that person could work with you. Because when referral partners work, they work really mm-hmm. well. You are going to probably sign that application. Mm-hmm. It's especially when it's from a home health agency or a doctor's office. That's slam dunk.
It certainly is. My home healthcare agencies, I love them and they love me. Building the pipeline, Kathy, because things you do today, it might not have an immediate payoff, but it's going to be a long run. So think about the long run, and everybody could be a prospect for some types of insurance. I tell especially my new agents that we love Medicare. Medicare is my bread and butter. But guess what I had today? I had an agent say, hey, Joanna, I got a 70-year-old, a married couple 70-year-old who does not have enough work credits for free Part A. What insurance do I sell them? And I said, they're a candidate for an ACA plan. If they don't get free Part A, sell them some ACA. And she's like, I didn't do my certification. Can I send them to you?
But how long does that take? Oh, so you had to do it.
It doesn't take long. 3 hours if you're brand new, if it's a recertification, less than an hour. The FFM in most states, the federal exchange, it's free. It's Google can help you answer the questions. It's not hard. I've never had anybody fail it. It pays just as much, but it's as earned. And Kathy, you have ACA with me.
I do. And I have a handful of clients.
It's good because if you get a 65-year-old who has a 64-year-old spouse, they're going to say, well, I'm turning 65 and going on Medicare, but my spouse is losing the group coverage and they're only 64. So what about them?
And that's all. It's literally all of my clients.
Yeah.
But I have a tip for people who are thinking about doing ACA. I don't remember what the issue is. Maybe you can help me remember. Mm-hmm. Do not get certified through Health Sherpa. There's something tricky about it. It doesn't go through or I don't remember what it was, but I had to certify twice last year because I did it through Health Sherpa and something didn't work.
Definitely do it through the state. And all you have to do, Google FFM certification and it'll come up. It's like one of the first top two. It's an enterprise CMS.gov website. Make sure it's .gov. Website. You do have to have a health insurance license.
So you can't do it while you're waiting your 3 weeks right. or whatever.
Nope.
But as soon as you get that license in your hand, you can do the FFM certification. But it's the same. Just do it at the same time you do AHIP.
It actually could actually be done before AHIP.
Yeah, it's easier.
Yeah, it's easier. It's free, especially if you're waiting for Payday Friday or something to pay for AHIP. AHIP is $125 and on a good day, it takes 8 to 9 hours to get through.
And then you have to certify with the carriers you want.
Yes.
And
so
do it another 3-4 hours per carrier.
I'm encouraging all new agents to start with ACA, dental and vision. Dental and vision doesn't require any certification. You can literally contract the day you get your license and sell some Humana insurance, some
cancer.
Yeah. And people need it. And you guess what, Kathy? Dental insurance, cancer insurance, it doesn't require any scope of appointment. You can talk to anybody walking in. I like to walk into restaurants. Restaurant employees are one of my favorite targets for under 65. And as I'm sitting there eating my lunch, and if the waitress has some time, I usually ask her, so how's your health insurance here? And most
what health insurance?
That is usually the response from most waitresses and wait staff and employees at smaller restaurants. Employers under 50 aren't required to carry health insurance, and most of the time they can't afford it. And most of these folks, waitresses, wait staff, they qualify for subsidies on the federal exchange and state exchanges. And if I can help them find a plan in their budget, usually they say, hey, can you help the cook? Can you help the other waitress?
If you get one, you got 10.
And they usually have some family members and kids. So that waitress, she might be a mom of two kids. So I like to walk and talk and help them with not just their major medical, but usually they want to talk about dental and vision.
And then this is Joanna's trick. So if you are seeing, sometimes she posts these delicious meals on Facebook. That's how she's doing it. She's getting all her meals for free at the restaurant. She's ordering a $50 meal and she makes $150 commission. Yep. And it pays for that meal and then some.
I'm writing off my meals.
Well, hey, if you're writing ACA, I'm not talking about writing them off. I'm talking about you're making a commission to pay for that meal and then some.
Part of the prospecting. I have to eat too, and I don't enjoy cooking. And so, but
you're looking at the tax write-off. I'm looking at the commission that you're earning. What did you say before that the ACA commission was $25 a month, $20 a month in Georgia?
Per month in Georgia, $28 for some carriers, but it's usually about $25. And the low end 20. I think my lowest carrier is 20, right?
So let's say you've got $20. Joanna goes in, she gets a $50 meal. Mm-hmm. She sells the waitress and her two kids, ACA. She's got enough money left over for the tip. So she just paid for her meal.
But that's per month.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That one time though, she paid for it right up front. And then she's got 11 more months of meals there at that restaurant for free also. So that's a great idea. But you can't get contracted for ACA until you've got your license. So basically, we're talking about what to do in that interim time. Anything that we forgot? Chamber of Commerce, BNI, website.
You're going to need a brand new bank account to separate your finances. This is a new business. I told him my favorite new bank account I found is found.com, F-O-U-N-D.com. I like it because they separate the taxes and show your tax liability as money comes in and it tracks your expenses. I told him do self-employed QuickBooks. One of the things that happens, Kathy, when people are new to the business is they start incurring expenses, right? So first thing he had was his pre-license course. That was probably $50 to $200. And then he sat for the person view exam. That's another $80. And then he went and got fingerprinted. And then he applied for his Georgia license. That's four expenses right there that he needs to make sure that he documents for his taxes come next February.
So I have a couple of business credit cards. I put all my business expenses on those business credit cards and I take my personal expenses and I put them on my personal. And you know me, I like to travel. So my business credit card it's an American Airlines credit card. And now it has pushed me into platinum status.
Nice.
Because I put everything on there. I put my virtual assistants, everything goes on there and it gives me enough points to maintain that platinum. Isn't that bad? I'm spending that much money.
Maybe on another episode, you could teach us how to do business credit card.
Sure. You have to have good credit. I know a lot about getting points and getting credit cards and stuff like that. I'd be happy to talk about that. But I think that every insurance agent should have a business account. And if you are a traveler like I am, it should be an account that gives you points on whatever airline or however you like to collect your points. Then you know what's business because you put it on your business credit card. Now you don't want to cheat. You can't put your electric bill on there. If I know it's personal, I don't do it. And I have plenty of expenses on my personal account. But please, listener, do not build up a balance on these accounts.
Nope.
You've got to pay it off at the end of the month or you are going to find yourself in a deep, deep hole because you can spend a lot of money on business expenses. You've got to treat it like it's your bank account and then you just pay it off in full. I know it's scary, but you can do it. You pay off this business card that you just set up in full each and every month. And you would be amazed at how you can track your expenses by doing it that way. So yeah, I'd be happy to do that. So set up your business bank account and you can also set up a business credit card, but you're still responsible for it. Your business credit card is still going to be based on your credit score. So if you have a credit score of 300, it's probably not going to work.
Got to work on getting that up.
Yeah, you got to work on that. But there are ways to build your credit too. So anything that you think we missed, or you've taken your test, you've passed, but you're waiting for the license to come. What are the couple of things that we do?
E&O insurance, Kathy. When you get your license, I don't know if you could do E&O before you get your license to come in. I'm trying to remember. I'll have to go look and see.
What does it cost these days? $500? And I think it depends on whether you're first year. They give you a discount on first year agents.
There's a couple that I recommend. Some of them require a down payment. Some of them are a little bit lenient. The first one I recommend now is next.com if they're in your state.
How do you, is that N-E-X or N-I-X? What is it?
N-E-X-T. And they don't require as much of a down payment as others. And then hiscox.com was the one I previously used. And then everybody refers to an association called NAPA.com. NAPA is actually an association of agents who write. It's not the actual name of the insurance carrier. So it might be like Cal Insurance or something like that.
You get a free CE credit every year if you do NAPA.
NAPA requires a larger down payment, though.
So it's for new agents might be hard for them.
And I do all my CE credits, a one-time payment, usually Web CE or something like that. I can pay usually $35 to get all 24 of my credits. So I like to do all my credits in a couple hours on Web CE, get it all done, and choose my topics. E&O insurance is another thing I have them start hunting and pricing out. I want to say, Kathy, that you might be able to do that before your license comes in because it's called professional insurance and nobody's ever asked me for my NPN. So you might be able to do it before. I'm going to research that, though, because you need
get your E&O
before you can contract.
Oh, we did a big one. A big one.
What's that?
Figure out who your FMO is going to be.
Find somebody like a Joanna.
Your upline. They might not be an FMO. They might be a GA or an MGA.
It might be a GA, MGA. And interview them and make sure that you like them. I want to look at someone and have a good conversation like we were having lunch. And I want to make sure that we're vibing and we have good communication skills and that your desires is something I can actually support. Because some agents have told me that their dreams are something that is not my best wheelhouse. Well, if you want to open up a call center or something, I am not the call center girl. I have friends that do that. I can send you over to them, but that's not my expertise. I don't open up call centers. My former mentor, Joe Tritola, he can show you how to open up a call center all day long. That's his expertise. Or some agents who they might want more of a captive experience. I don't have any captive agents to myself. And I have friends that do that. So make sure that you actually want to talk to them and that your dreams and everything of how you envision building your business aligns with how they function.
You know, I just want to point something out. Even if you had a different upline bring you in, let's say they brought you to a seminar and got you excited about selling insurance, until you contract with a carrier through them, you can go to anybody you want. Let's say you started with Joe Schmo over here, and now you've learned about all the things that Joanna does, but you haven't contracted yet. It's okay for you to interview with Joanna. You're not a captive unless you are a captive, right?
And that's usually for people who sign a contract for a salary with like State Farm, Allstate. So if you sign a contract with Allstate and started working and getting a paycheck, you probably want to look at that contract before you do anything. Because I've seen people get terminated for getting a dental contract or something outside. They didn't know, right? But if you are a 1099 agent who is paid direct from the carriers, let's say you get a Humana contract from someone, that doesn't marry you to them. You have no obligation if they're not fulfilling the needs that you need. Insurance is a lot like dating, Kathy. It's a lot like dating. Kathy and I, we date an ACA, but one day if she meets somebody who fulfills her needs better, she's not hostage to me. Oh, I don't own her. It's a free world.
When I first started, I had three FMOs. I didn't see the benefit of putting all my business with one FMO. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know what it was like. Mm-hmm. And the first one I left because it wasn't the first one I signed up with, but it was the first FMO I left. And the reason I left them is I didn't know that I wasn't going to get paid from the carrier and that I was getting paid from them. And I remember I was new to Medicare, but I was not new to this industry and I did not like that. Okay. And so I left them. And I forget which carrier I was contracted with, but I waited the 6 months or whatever it was and then moved my contract. And then the second one, I wasn't really getting much from them. And so I left them and I put all my business with one FMO, not the one I'm with now. And I really liked them because they were very strong on compliance and they were not giving me anything really. The only thing I got from them was the turning 65 list. That was it. And then I moved my business over to the FMO I'm with right now because they gave me money for co-oping. Basically, they reimbursed half my money that I spent on marketing. Now I don't spend much on marketing. So I'm not spending anything and I cannot call. You're talking to me before we started this podcast saying how you have agents calling you or texting you or whatever. I had an appointment with the broker manager who replaced my broker manager.
Okay.
And she was late. You know, I texted her and I said, you know, hey, how late you're going to be? And then at the half hour mark, I said, you know what? We're going to have to reschedule this because I've got other appointments. And she said, okay, I'll reschedule. And I'm in their top 10%. This was at least a month ago. She has not rescheduled our appointment. They don't do that much for me, Joanna. And
that's not
apparently
good.
They don't think I do much for them if they're not that concerned about meeting with me.
If you're their top 10%,
not top 10, top 10%.
If you're their top 10%, and I know your production, a lot of people function differently. If somebody is writing business with me, especially a decent business, consistent business.
You're taking them out to dinner and cool places. I know. And I'm like, why am I with this FMO over here? But we'll talk about this on another show. We're getting off topic again.
Let's go back to that. Don't kiss the first person who offers you a contract. Shop around because you might like Joanna and Joe and C. Bob, but make sure you interview a couple different people and see what they're like and talk to a couple agents that work with them. Test out the waters and ask what they do about releases. That's my best thing. Nobody told me about releases until I was already deep in the trenches. And then they screamed at me when I asked for a release. So ask them, do you offer releases?
And some don't. And what a release is for the listener is when you want to leave, it's basically your divorce papers. They have to sign it or you can't leave. Mm-hmm. So the only way to get your divorce from your upline without them saying you can is to not write business with that carrier, usually for 6 months.
Usually for Medicare Advantage, it's a 90-day self-release process for most carriers, but you have to do it before June 1st.
Or there's a blackout.
For MedStop, 6 months of no writing, Aetna Senior, whatever, or Mutual of Omaha. And many of us can't go 6 months without the big carriers that we're consistently writing. Like, it's hard for me to stop writing United Healthcare MedSup. Thank God that they have another process.
But you do not want to do that. Yeah. So find out what their release policy is and get it in writing. Or I've heard agents say, get the release signed in advance and then date it if you need it. I'm not going to do that personally, but it's like a prenup. Like, I feel a little bit weird about that. I think we've given people some good value and we'll go into more depth on some of these topics later. But for the listener, I hope you enjoyed this episode and we'll see you next time on the Insurance Business Babes podcast. Bye.